Okay, got it. Okay, so so here this is in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Beis. I guess it's the fourth. It's well, it's actually the one I'm doing is Gimel, but I guess maybe a little you have to read a little from before. So just to paraphrase, I mean, the Rambam says, Ikar Hatzivoi Bavodah Zarah Shlo Lavod Echa Mikol Habura. Okay, a person shouldn't worship any of the created existences. Okay, even if a person knows there's a God, that doesn't matter, because that was the original Avodah Zarah, that even though they knew there's a God, they worship the other things, you know, planets or other things in existence, okay? And then it says like this. And then the Rambam says, in Beis. Okay. Svarim Rabim Chibur of the Avodah Zarah, Bavodaso. Heich Iker Avodaso, Ma Mishpateo, Maiseha. So the many Svarim are written with regard to the how to worship, the laws of worshiping, whatever. They're minhagen. Okay, so Tzivano Kadosh Baruch Hu Shlo Likras Bo Sama Sfarim Klal. We shouldn't read those Sfarim V'lo Nahar Herba V'lo B'davar Midvareha. Okay, and we shouldn't be Mahar Her, we shouldn't think about those topics. Yafil Istaka B'dmus HaTzura Asim. And even to stare, to look at the Dmus, at the idols, is Asur. Why? Al Tifnil El Elilim. Person shouldn't turn towards the Elilim, the idols. Okay? Ubinyan Zesh, Namar, Pentidrash Lelokain, Namar, Echayavdu, lest you Doresh, you investigate. Okay? Shlotisha Derech Avodaso Hechi. Shouldn't ask about it. Be'alfishain Ataoved, even though you don't worship. This causes a person to turn towards it, and to do like they do. Okay? Then the Rambam says, it's all one idea. Should not turn after Avodah Zarah. Anybody who turns in that direction, b'derech shehu osem bo ma'isef, if that involves an action, he's a loka. Then he'll get malchus. Okay. Then he goes like this, but I assume he means that if the turning just involves machshava, so you can't have malchus, but you're over the law. But if the involvement of Avodah Zarah involves a Maisa, so then you're going to get, you'll be over the law and you'll get Malchus. Okay? Then he says like this, V'lo Avodah Zarah bilvad hu sha'asa lehipano zachareha. Not only is it Avodah Zarah that we're prohibited from turning towards it, but machshava, with thought, el kol machshava shegoremes lo la'adam, any thought that causes a person lakor ikar me'ikri haTorah to uproot or to deny one of the fundamentals of the Torah, musharim anu shlo la losa alibenu. We are warned to not shlo la losa alibenu. It should not enter our thoughts, our minds. V'lo nasiach daitenu lekach. We shouldn't, direct our ideas. We shouldn't displace our thoughts onto that. The nachshov, and to think v'ni moshech achar hirhurei lev, and to be drawn after hirhurei lev, imaginations of the heart. Person's das, intelligence, is limited. Not everybody is able with their minds, with their thoughts, to attain truth properly. The im yimashich kol adam achar machshavos libo. If every person will be drawn after the thoughts of his mind, of his heart, nimtza machriv es ha'olam, the world will be destroyed. He'll destroy the world. Lefi kotzer daito. Okay. According to the smallness of his ideas. So the Rambam says, Ketzad. Okay. Pamim yasur achar avodah zarah. One day he'll turn towards avodah zarah. Pamim yachshav b'yichad avareh. The next day he'll think, maybe there is only one God. Okay. Shemahu, Shemaino. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. He's vacillating. A person is vacillating. Can't come to conclusions. Can't think properly. Mala maila mala mata. Mala fanim mala achor. He'll speculate about all these matters that he can't really, he has no ability to resolve. Upamim banavua. I'll think about navua. Shemahi emes Shemaino. Navua is there prophecy? Isn't there? One day, hey, prophecy, yeah, I could see it. Next day, it sounds preposterous. Okay? Then the Rambam says, Upamin Batara. Batara itself, Shemahi Mina Shemayim. From Mina Shemayim, is it divine? Shemaina? I don't know, maybe it's not. Ve'ena yodea hamidos shiyadu bahen, and he does not know the rules, the method of ascertaining, of judging ideas, ad shiyadu ha'emes alburya, in order to attain true ideas. He does not know logical thinking, strict ideas. He doesn't know. Ve'nimsa yotsu lidi minos. And he will become a person that has false, denies the Torah. Okay? So therefore, the Rambam is saying, since a person, most people are not experts at thinking, if they apply thought processes to these areas, they're going to come to crazy conclusions. So therefore, a person shouldn't engage in this. The Torah says, a person not allowed to engage in this. Because we don't know who knows how to think, who doesn't know how to think, and you just become a free for all. So you cannot engage in this, right? So the thing is that, very nice, but if the Rambam would have said up until the Torah, you could say, okay, this is consistent. But the Rambam includes the Torah, so the Rambam is saying that a person will think maybe the Torah is true, maybe it's false. But if a person doesn't know that the Torah is true, then he doesn't know any of these things. Then he's not going to follow. There's no. You can't tell me you have a mitzvah if he doesn't know about the Torah. He doesn't know whether the Torah is true or false. So then why should he accept the mitzvahs? So how could the Rambam include that? Obviously, a person has to be able to ascertain that the Torah is true. Otherwise, this whole thing doesn't apply. In other words, you could say that a person, there's an issur in the Torah to consider these ideas, to think about these ideas. The Torah says you're not allowed to investigate, and you're not allowed to go into avodah zarah, to what the ideas of avodah zarah are. You're not allowed to investigate with regard to nevuah, but you can't tell me the Torah says you're not allowed to investigate whether the Torah is true. How could the Torah say that? Because what?
Yeah, I get it.
Right? Because the Torah only applies to a person after he accepts this is true. You can't say, well, if the Torah tells you you're not allowed to think about whether the Torah is true, well, why should a person listen to the Torah? He's all of these halachos apply because the Torah, the person accepts the Torah is true. That's the underlying premise. You can't say that the Torah is telling you you have to believe in the Torah. If I don't believe in the Torah, I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to follow that.
Is the question coming from just the last?
Yeah.
Meaning, upamim b'Torah?
Yeah.
Shemim yishmai shemayinu? That's also by nevuah, though. The same question would apply, right?
Well,
because if you're saying nevuah is not true,
right,
then maybe Moshe didn't.
Maybe Moshe, right. That's right.
That's right.
So that also would be the same similar question.
That's right. That's right, exactly.
Well, I mean, all of these, I guess, would be similar.
No, because you could say, if Torah accepts, person knows the Torah's Minas Shamayim, and the Torah tells me I'm not allowed to go into investigating about a bazaar. Okay? So God told me, this area you shouldn't think about because, you know, you may come to the wrong conclusion. So don't, you just have to accept these premises. The bazaar is false, all of these things.
But in terms of the first point where it says, right.
That's right.
So
therefore,
there is no.
Right. So
there's no Yichud. So
right.
So that means that there would be.
No, the Torah says you must you must accept Yichud Hashem. That's the Torah's. That God gave the Torah, and the Torah says that there's mitzvah of Yichud Hashem. A person must believe in Yichud Hashem, and he's not allowed to look at alternatives. Okay, so I could say, well, that's the mitzvah God gave me, so I accept Yichud Hashem, and I don't go into the alternatives. Okay, but you can't tell me that God gave the Torah, and the Torah says you must believe in the Torah. Well, no, that's the underlying premise, that God gave you the Torah, and you accept it. Once you accept the Torah, now you have to accept all the mitzvahs in the Torah. But you can't say one of the mitzvahs of the Torah is to accept the Torah.
But then, what I'm saying is, can it go a step back, I guess, to God, meaning God gave us the Torah, and then Torah says you must follow the commandments.
That's right.
But since God in the Torah told us to follow the commandments, so that means only have we can question that as well.
What do you mean?
Meaning Shema. I mean the first line, Pamim Yasser Atar Vazar Pam Yachshav Yichud Abore.
That's right.
And so he has to even consider that there is a Yichud Abore.
No,
so he's saying you're not allowed to even.
No, no. In other words, no. He's saying like
that.
This: like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah accepted a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They accepted God, but they said that God wants us to doesn't want us to relate directly to Him. He wants us to go through the other planets or whatever, right? He wants us to serve these lower beings, but even though He's the God, He doesn't want us to go directly to Him. Right? Now, God came and gave us a Torah and said, no, that's false. That is false. That's not the correct way to worship. The correct way to worship is to worship directly to God. Okay? So I accept that. Now, God says, God could say that you're not allowed to start going into the whys and whats. That's it. This is a thing you have to accept. Okay? So that's logical. That's possible. Right? That's not illogical that God gave this thing. This is not for you. This is not an area of investigation for you. You're not going to be able to figure it out. You're going to get confused. Just, I'm telling you through secondhand knowledge, this is false. Do not, don't study that area. Like scientists used to think there's such a thing as magic. But the Ramban said that even though that may be, in those times, they thought there was a real system of some kind of magic. They thought that was a system. But the Ramban says, but the Torah said you can't use that system. In other words, you have to go through the laws of nature, the regular laws of nature. Okay, so now we know there is no such system like that. Fine. But you could say that type of a thing, that God says this is the way you have to conduct yourself. Okay. So that is okay. That's possible. Right, that would not be illogical. But you can't say that we can't investigate whether the Torah is true. If we can't investigate whether the Torah is true, well, then how? Why would we accept anything? Right? How could the Torah? The underlying premise is that we're saying we're accepting the Torah. And now, what does the Torah say? But you can't say that the Torah says not to. You can't say that we don't know whether the Torah is true because then we're not accepting anything. Right? You can't say the Torah says, you can't ascertain whether the Torah is true. Well, then how do I know to accept the Torah? Right? That has to be a known thing. If that's not a known thing, so then nothing else can follow. Right? So how could the Rambam say that one of these sermons in the Torah is to see whether the Torah is right or wrong? Okay. right? It's like a similar question. You can't have a mitzvah that I should believe in God. You can't have a mitzvah like that. Because if I don't believe in God, there's no mitzvah. It's a circular type of reason.
Don't we, though?
What's that?
Don't we have such a mitzvah?
It's a good question. How can we have a mitzvah? Mitzvah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I'm the Lord your God. Okay, well, one second. If you're not, if that's it, that could only be, is that true or is it false? You can't have a mitzvah like that. I'm commanding you that you must believe in me. Well, what do you mean? If I don't believe in you, and the mitzvah doesn't mean anything. I don't care. And if I'm listening to the mitzvah, it means I already believe in you. How could you give me a mitzvah or believe in you? It doesn't make any sense. Similar question. Same question.
But the first part of the Rambam makes sense?
Yeah, because everything comes after that. Fine. I go to a doctor, and the doctor says, you have to accept me as a doctor. Well, that's why I'm coming to you. Now, if I don't accept you as a doctor, you can't tell me to, because why would I listen to that? If I think that you are an ignoramus, what value is there you as an ignoramus are telling me to believe that you're knowledgeable? That's crazy. That is an underlying premise. Either you have the knowledge or you don't have the knowledge. If I'm coming to you, anything I listen to you will have to be based on the premise that I have... some conviction as to your knowledge. If I think you're an ignoramus, then nothing you say will be of any value. So the whole basis is that somehow I've ascertained that you have knowledge. Now that you have knowledge, now I can follow one of your dictates. But if I say you have no knowledge, the fact that you're telling me you have knowledge and I should follow you is absolutely worthless. That can't be accepted on authority. The only thing you can accept on authority is once you are established as an authority. Now I could say, okay, that person is an authority. I'm going to listen to everything he says. Right? Even if I don't have, even if I don't know whether it's true or false, because I don't have knowledge in the area. But I know this guy's an authority. But if I don't know the guy's an authority, I can't accept his authority based on his own authority. That's crazy. Right? That's why the guy has the diploma hanging on his wall. That tells me, oh, that guy's graduated Harvard. Okay, now let's hear what you have to say. Right? So let's see, what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, what's that? I mean, that can't be to believe in God. Okay, so the first mitzvah is Leidash Yesh Shamalokah. Okay, you said so I'm gonna chachmos Leidash Yesh Sham Matsui Risham. So what's the mitzvah?
To know it.
Right? So is that adding anything? Is that mitzvah add to something that we wouldn't have already? Now, if a person accepts the Torah, is that mitzvah adding something that would not be there before this mitzvah? Let's say you didn't have this mitzvah.
Yeah, to acquire proofs about it, demonstrations, arguments.
That's right. Now, as the Torah, we accept the Torah because of Har Sinai. So we know that this thing is that this was given by God, right? But do we have a proof? Can we prove from the first premises? Could we prove there must be a God? You see, could we show through knowledge that there that why it has to be that there is a God? You see, why it's impossible for there not to be a God. Can we know that? You see, that's the first mitzvah. You see, to prove through first-hand knowledge that there must be a God, that it's impossible that there's no God, so that even if we didn't have Sinai, we would know. We could show to a person that doesn't know anything about Sinai, we could show him from what, from the world, from the knowledge that we have in the world, we could show him there must be a creator. You see? That's really the first mitzvah. To show why there must be a creator. Not just we happen to know there is a creator, you see, but why there must be a creator. Why it's impossible for there not to be a creator. That is really the first mitzvah. That would be like, I know that there is gravity. Why? Because I know Newton was a great scientist, and all the scientists see that the gravity is something that explains everything. So I accept there must be a theory of gravity, must be a true theory. But I don't know why it has to be that way. I don't know from the phenomena. I couldn't prove it. If somebody came to me and said, could you explain to me why there has to be a theory, why the theory of gravity is true, or what the theory of gravity is? No. I just know that this is true. You see? Or I know that there's nothing faster than the speed of light. I know that. Why? Because I know that scientists say that it's impossible for anything to exceed the speed of light. But could I explain to you why that has to be true? No. But if I was a scientist, I studied the area, then I would see for myself why it has to be that this, nothing could exceed this speed. You see? So that is the mitzvah, to show why it has to be that there's a God. It's impossible otherwise. You see, but there can't be a mitzvah to know that there is a God, because that's the Torah is based on that. But there could only be a mitzvah to know that there must be a God, why it has to be this way. You see, to be able to prove this, that you can have a mitzvah. Okay, and not just based on the authority of Har Sinai, but to prove it through knowledge. Okay? So that's the mitzvah Anoch Hashem. Leida Es Hashem. See, he didn't say Lahamin to have that as a premise, but Leida, to have knowledge. Okay? So what do you say over here? That the Rambam is saying that Al Tifnu El Lilim means a person cannot delve into these areas. They can't delve into the area whether the Torah is true or false. And I'll tell you moreover that I forget where it is, but there in the Torah, someone's born, but the Torah talks about not to study, not to, I guess it's this, it must be this area, Al Tifnu El Lilim, not to, where would it be in Ray?
It's earlier.
Huh?
Not Dalet.
Yeah, yeah. Where does he have it?
Dalet, he says, maybe.
In where?
In Halak Aleph, the same page.
Hilchos Avodah Zarah?
Yeah, I think.
Let me see.
Maybe I'm missing this.
Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Right, and Rashi says, Halacha Aleph.
Yeah. They said the wrong
passage. That's Hashem Alechem Pen Yiftel Levavachem, or the first one. Asher Chalak Hashem Alekecha Osam.
Yeah, is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but anyways, I have to look it up. But that the Torah says not to look into how the Goyim worship, right? And Rashi says there, not to look into to do it, but to teach, right? Lahavin alahaskil to understand it, that you do look into it. To understand the Avodah Zarah, you go into it, so that you should be able to explain to your kids why that's a bad thing. How bad a practice that is, right? So how can the Rambam say you can't be mahar here? You can't think about this. I mean, obviously, a person has to go into this area to understand what Avodah Zarah is and why you should, how to keep away from it.
So right? You're saying that's a similar idea?
It's a similar idea, right.
Meaning it's the approach of how you're going to, or the mindset in which you're going into these areas?
Right. In other words, the Rambam is saying, al tifnu el ha'alilim, there are two types of thoughts. When a person thinks about something, there are two ways to think about something. Like, I'll give you an example. I was reading this book about the Wright brothers. And he was saying that very interesting thing, that the local newspaper where he lived, I think it was Canton, Ohio, where the Wright brothers lived and did all their, well, they actually did experiments somewhere else at this place on North Carolina where it was very windy, but where they were working on the airplane, developing flight, okay? And they were doing later on, when they built the models, they were actually doing, giving demonstrations, and they were doing a lot of their experiments there where they lived in Canton, Ohio. So once they became very popular and it became known, you know, worldwide fame, people came to this place, to Canton, and they asked it was a very curious thing, that the newspapers there did not cover it at all. In other words, until it became known to the world, there was nothing in the newspapers about their all of the years that they were working on it. Nothing. And on the contrary, people there considered them like kooks. Like, these guys are crazy. And none of the newspapers covered it. And they were, and a lot of them were called there to come and see what's going on. But they came, but there was no, they didn't cover it at all in the press. I asked these guys, I don't understand, how could it be that this is going on in your town, and why didn't you spread it, this word? Why didn't you, you know, announce it? Why wasn't there any kind of, how come the whole world didn't know about it? So the guy said, they said, yeah, we can't explain it. We can't explain it. But it just seemed like an impossible type of thing. Like, a man is going to be able to fly. It just seemed to us preposterous. You know, so I don't know. We just didn't even consider the possibility that these two guys were really able to do this. You know, we just figured it's, like, impossible, right? So, and the thing is, in general, until they got recognition, they were, like, considered, like, two nuts, crazy, crazy people, wasting their lives, you see? So the thing is that type of thinking is like a kind of emotional kind of experiential thinking, like, what is possible, what we know about, but the idea of something of entertaining possibilities, you see, they're not working with a logical type of method. In other words, if you would tell a guy 100 years ago that, you know, it's possible to have a ship flying in the air going across the country with 200 people in the ship, and it's going to fly across the air, the guy would say, this is, you know, you're absurd. This is an absurdity. It's an impossibility. You see? Should I answer that?
I'm not sure it is.
Hello?
Our records show that you have not updated your free Google business listing. Press 1 now to verify and update your...
Okay. You see, that's like a common sense type of intuition. But it's an emotional thinking. It's thought that's based on the idea that the only things that are real are things I'm used to. But if you tell me a thing that I've never seen, that I'm not used to, I say I outrule it. That's an impossibility. You see, that's an emotional type of thinking. It doesn't stem from the rational part of the mind. It's whatever I'm used to, that's what makes sense. But something I'm not used to, I've never seen, doesn't make sense. You see, so that's why a person that comes up with an idea, which logically is 100% possible, because you see birds flying all the time. So flight is not an illogical, it's not an impossibility, it's just we've never seen it, so we say impossible. You see, that's the type of thinking that the Torah offers. That type of thinking. You see, it's making determinations based on the emotion of familiarity, but not based on rationality. You see? So that's what the Rambam means. That if a person engages in these areas with that type of thinking, that's osur. That's what he means. He means that one day a guy will say, oh, you know, Har Sinai, is that, do you believe that? I mean, the mountain was burning and a voice came out of nowhere? I mean, I don't know, I just have a hard time believing that. See, that's crazy type of thinking. Because that's saying, oh, you've never seen that. But is it illogical? Is it impossible? No. So the fact that you've never seen it, what does that mean? It's like one time I told a guy, proof I've seen it, and I told him the whole thing, and he asked me a few questions, and I explained it, and he says, yeah, I see what you're saying. I just can't believe it. You see, that is an emotional thing, you see. Or a person will say, Nevuah, God talks to man. Come on. Because he's never seen it. Is there anything illogical about that? On the contrary, I would say it's the most logical thing in the world. Because man has a part of his mind that is rational, that's intellectual, that perceives reality. And now you tell me the source of reality has a connection to him? Doesn't sound absurd. On the contrary, it would be, you might think it's absurd that such a thing wouldn't be possible. You see? So it's simply a thinking that's based on an emotion of what, like, people call common sense. Is that commonsensical? That's not, use your common sense. You see? So that's what the Rambam is saying. If a person uses that type of thought when it comes to these areas, then he's over an Isser. Like a person will think, well, imagine, maybe, could we imagine if Avodah Zarah was possible? Maybe, you know, you pray to something, maybe it works. See, that type of thinking is awesome. That's why the Rambam says, Lehar-hir. You see, but logical thinking, that's a mitzvah. If a person will think, well, let's understand what the idea of Avodah Zarah is and what emotions motivates a person, you see, then that's, on the contrary, that's a mitzvah, because then he's going to understand exactly how this works and why this is a stupid thing. That the Torah does not, the Torah endorses that. Of course, a person has to be able to utilize that type of thought. But if a person utilizes the other type of thought, then he's involved in this. So say, yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's like, one time I was getting to the Prevar Sinai and a guy says, I mean, I've never walked down the street and heard a voice come from nowhere. How can I accept that? Just a voice. You ever hear, you're walking down the street and all of a sudden a voice comes from nowhere? You're going to say, well, I must be crazy. I said to him, well, let me ask you this. Why is it that you would conclude that you're crazy if you heard a voice that you couldn't identify the source? Why would you think you're crazy? He says, because I've never heard that. Every time I hear something, it's from a material identifiable source. I said, okay, well, maybe you were crazy every time that happened. In other words, why are you saying your senses are correct there? Maybe this is the first time your senses are correct, and maybe you're imagining, maybe those are hallucinations. So there's nothing more logical about a voice coming from a physical object, that you could identify. There's nothing more logical about that than about this. It's just that you're used to. But if you would constantly hear voices that you couldn't identify the source, and that was a common occurrence, then you'd become used to that. And you go, well, of course, voices don't come from material objects. That would be crazy. And then if you heard a voice coming from a material object, you say, this is insane. You see, it is just what a person is used to. But there's nothing illogical about such a thing. You see, and on the contrary, you could show that is the case. Because when you hear thunder... What is that? There's no material object. That's an energy. That's an energy source. And all of a sudden, there's a sound. You see? So where's the material object? There's no material object. You see? So there's nothing illogical about it. It's just what a person's used to. You see? And that's what the Torah is doing. It's identifying, it's isolating two different types of thinking. You see? And the truth of the matter is, the only person that can innovate, whether in the area of ideas, coming up with a new idea, or inventions, like the Wright brothers, or an idea like a person that comes up with a new theory in science. You see, that person could never partake of the other type of thinking. You see, it's the other type of thinking that stops a person from going into any new area, because he feels like, people are going to look at me, this is crazy, this is insane. Try to get a man flying? That's crazy. Or coming up with a new idea in science, of waves? People laugh at me. You see, that type of thinking is really counter chachma. It's against chachma. Interesting thing.
Because even if, let's say, in the end of the day, it's not correct, meaning you still have what to gain from learning through that.
That's right. Exactly right. And to show you that a person that can accomplish that really has this type of thinking, because they asked, he's not really affected by the common sense type of thought that the average guy, the average emotions, he's not in that area. Because it's an interesting thing, because the Wright brothers, it doesn't seem like they were that much into I don't know too much about them, but their area was more in the practical implementation than going into the scientific, sphere. They were more into the practical. But yet, you see that when they asked, there were other people that were trying to invent, flying machines. And they were going on a different course, not the same type of a method that the Wright brothers were using, but a different type of method. And they were unsuccessful. Very unsuccessful. So, in fact, the government poured large sums of money into these methods that were the accepted methods of this is how we're going to produce a machine. They had these very heavy machines. I don't know exactly how they did it, but they were a total failure. And it was really the method that was endorsed by the establishment. So they came to the Wright brothers after, and the Wright brothers were, nobody gave them anything. They were totally working on their own. They had no funds. They were just, and nobody was, they weren't collaborating with anybody. They simply were working on their own thing. They were total unknowns. So they came to them and they said, how did you do this? You did this all on your own. And look, what do you think now about the people that used these other methods, and they were, had all of the support and all the money, and weren't they like, and now, we could see clearly that their method was crazy. It was just a waste of time. Like, what do you think about that? And he said, no, on the contrary, it was a very admirable thing that they were doing. They were trying to, come up with a method to accomplish this, and the fact that they, chose that method, that's they really, through their efforts, they were instrumental in producing the results too, because it shows you, people, as more people engage in this, you're going to come up with the right answer, but not everybody's going to be successful, but the fact that they partook and they participated in this endeavor, this is an important endeavor, it's progress, and they really deserve a lot of credit. You know what I mean? So you see, it's an amazing thing that he gave, he was not into the fame or the success or the the idea that, the guy who comes up with the right thing, he's the one that we give credence to. He wasn't into that at all. And on the contrary, he wasn't into credence or public approval at all. And if he was into public approval, he could never have done what he did. Because the guy who comes up with a new thing has to be somebody who does not give any concern to what other people think or what makes common sense. He's only looking at what is makes sense logically, and let's just follow that path and forget about what is and what we're used to, and that's meaningless. You see, so you see, that was his mental type of framework. You know what I mean? Interesting shows you. I mean, a guy on that that accomplishes something like that, he's on a higher level. He's not on the average guy's level. That this guy's no good and you're good, and you know he's on a different level, you know. So it's but that's really, it's an amazing thing. The mitzvah really differentiates from what the average guy thinks is logical thought is absolutely, it's awesome. You know, it's an amazing thing. And you see a lot of times, many of the questions people ask are based on that kind of thought. Like a guy will say, Tchias HaMeisim. How can we believe in Tchias HaMeisim? It sounds like an impossible thing. A person's dead, you come back to life. I mean, what is this? It's like illogical. It's like magic. Like, does the Torah believe in such a thing? So this is the same type of thinking, because you've never seen a dead person come back to life. But if you would see that, you'd go, well, of course, why can't a dead thing come back to life? I mean, it's just what you're used to. There's nothing illogical about it. On the contrary, if a person knew enough information, we see that science believes that life came from things that don't have life. That material objects are basically, the only difference between life and material objects and inanimate objects is just a chemical composition. But if you put together the right composition, you can produce life. So that's not something that nowadays scientists have such a concept. Do you know what I mean? So it's just what you're used to. You know what I mean? There's nothing illogical. What produces life? It's a certain chemical composition. So things that are inanimate have chemical compositions too. They may have the same chemical compositions, then just not put together in the right way. You know what I mean? So it's just, there's nothing illogical. Just like when you see a person die, you don't go, hey, how's this possible? He went from life to inanimate. That's impossible. You don't say that's impossible. You say, well, what do you mean? He was alive and now he got too old and he died. Seems logical, right? But the reverse, you'll say, oh, that's impossible. What do you mean? He's dead and he came back to life? How could that be? Logically, what's the difference? If the transition from living to non-living is impossible, how could it go the other way? You know what I mean? So it's 100% logical. You know what I mean? If you tell me you can go from life to inanimate, you see, why is the reverse is exact? No difference. You see, but somehow or other, reverse sounds crazy. You see, but you could see in your mind, when you think about it logically, it is, there is absolutely logically no difference. But if you tell it to the average guy, you'd say, well, I mean, that's absurd. Nobody comes back to life. Yeah, die, you could die, but nobody comes back to life. Life only comes from other life, but not from dead. Why? You know what I mean? Right? Logically, what do you mean? Well, life can go to death, so why can't death go to life? Right? But somehow or other, in our minds, that sounds like, that's crazy. See, that's emotional thinking. That's not rational. Right? Like when you say it, if you tell that to the average guy, they go, that's hocus pocus. Yeah.
Isn't that a nes, though?
What's that?
Isn't that a nes?
Well, the question is, so what do you mean by nes?
Against the system of nature?
It's against the system under normal conditions, yeah. But it's not, it's not impossible. It can't be impossible.
No.
Right? So it means the way the system was set up, right, a dead person doesn't come back to life. You see? But if there'd be a change in the system, then that could happen like that. You see? That's, right? It has to be within the potential of that entity to regenerate life. It has to be potentially possible. If it's not potential, if it's not something that the organism has within it, the potential, then how can it happen? It can't be. You see? So the only thing is, in the order that we have, it's not actuated. There's something in there that doesn't get actuated, but the potential has to be there. Otherwise, how can it happen? Right? So when we say nace, we mean something that doesn't normally happen for one reason or another, but it's got to be possible. Right? Like when we say this C-split. Well, there has to be some kind of potentiality within the nature of water to stand up and to separate. There has to be something within it. Otherwise, how can it happen? If you tell me it's just illogical, it's impossible, so then God can't do the impossible. It's impossible. You see? So it has to be something possible. The only thing is, it doesn't happen every day. It potentially could happen, but we've never seen it happen. And we certainly have never seen it happen when a group of people are running away from an enemy and all of a sudden the sea splits. Well, that's, you know what I mean, that's a sign that there's hashgacha here. You see? Ooh. But it's not impossible. It can't be impossible.
Does it mean it's logical?
It's logical. It's logical.
It's logical for all the Bechor, to be killed?
It has to be. It has to be potential. There has to be a potential. There has to be an explanation. If we knew enough about the nature of the substances, we'd be able to explain it. But it wouldn't take away from a nace. You see, it would not take away from the nace. Because let's say I have enough knowledge to know that water could split under certain conditions.
Oh, could we
okay,
reach that knowledge?
But that, what's that?
Are you saying we can get to that knowledge?
I don't say we can get to that knowledge. We may not be able to get to that knowledge.
So how do you know that knowledge exists?
It has to be, because if you tell me, there's only two possibilities. Either it's within the nature of water to do this or not. Now, if it's against the nature of water, how could a thing happen against its nature?
God can't change the nature?
Well, then you're saying it's within the nature.
No, I'm saying he's changing the nature.
Oh, so then you're saying that he took away the water and put something else there. Okay? But whatever that other thing that was there, right, is it's within his nature.
Yeah.
In other words, it has to be possible for such a thing to happen. Otherwise, how could it be? You see, you don't, in other words, what I'm saying is like this, that what we should explain things according to logic, you see. Now, if I say that the nace, that this thing split, that's a nace, what does that mean? That means that, let's say I tell you that when this people, God's will is that this people should escape, okay? So when they run up to the water, it splits. Now, what is the miracle there? Is it necessarily that the water split? Yes, that's something we've never seen. But isn't the greater miracle is that it split right at that moment? Doesn't that indicate that there... Let's say I would tell you, because you see the Chazal say it's not an unnatural thing, because Chazal say all of these things were programmed into Maisa Bereishis. Right? Isn't that what Chazal say? That the miracle, there is no miracle that's against the laws of nature, that's a breach in the law. All of the miracles were put into to Bereishis at right Benishmash Yom Shvi. God implanted it in nature. So that means, according to that Chazal, that means that part of the laws of nature were set up in a way that the water, which normally does a certain thing under certain conditions, its nature is built in a certain way that under certain conditions that water will split. And if you had enough knowledge, you'd be able to duplicate the conditions, whatever they were. I don't know, atmospheric temperature, wind speed, whatever it is, there's something that was built into nature that will give the water the potential to do that. You see? That doesn't mean it's not a nace, because what you're saying then is that the laws of nature are built in such a way that at this second in history, that water will split. Well, that indicates that there's a design based on a divine will. That's what we mean by nace. That things that the divine will dictated that this should happen to to accommodate man. Normally, nature does not accommodate man. Man has to accommodate nature, right? If you want to escape from a place, you have to plan it out, and you have to work out things within the laws of nature. That's all we mean by the laws of nature. You see, now you can't expect water to split. That would be saying, well, things just happen hocus pocus. You see, that's not what we're saying. You see, so a nace doesn't mean hocus pocus, but a nace means that that there's something in nature that's programmed not by the parameters of nature. In other words, if I just took into consideration the parameters of nature, how would God create the world? He would create the world that the sea's not going to split at this second. Why should he put something in the nature and organize all of the laws that the sea is going to split at this second? That wouldn't make any sense, right? So the fact that God organized everything in a way through the laws of nature that this thing is going to split at this second indicates that now there's another parameter in how things work. One parameter is according to the scientific organization of laws of nature. The other parameter is that there's something in nature that you could see reflects a divine will for man. You see? But it's incorporated into nature. And on the contrary, that's a greater chachma. You see? So that's what we mean by nace. Nace means when there's something in nature that reflects the necessity for man. That's a nace already. You see? Because we say, well, that wouldn't normally happen. It would be highly improbable for that to happen at this second. You see? Or for Moshe to go out and be able to say, okay, the frogs are going to disappear at this second. Okay, well, how did he do that? How did he know when it's going to happen, and how was he able to effectuate that? Well, but the point is that there must be something built into nature that such a thing could happen. Right? So, Trias HaMeisim is a nace, because Trias HaMeisim would not happen if not for the concept that God dictated should, the Ratzon Hashem is that this is the greatest thing for the society of man. Trias HaMeisim would not happen. But that doesn't mean that it's not within the potential of every body to come back to life. It doesn't mean there's anything that if we had enough knowledge, maybe we could duplicate it. Oh, there'd be no reason for us to duplicate it. There's no reason for this to happen normally, except for the fact that Klal Yisrael needs it. You see? So it never is actualized. But is it within the nature of a physical being to come back to life? Well, I don't know. Is it illogical? No. If you found out 200 years from now a guy had enough medical knowledge that he could regenerate a dead body, would you say, oh, that can't be? Why? Just like Could a ship fly across the sky with 200 people in it? Can't be. Oh, you don't have knowledge of aerodynamics. If you had that knowledge, you'd see it's not hocus pocus. It's within the nature of the air pressure to allow for such a thing. There's such a thing as lift. You didn't know anything about it. Okay. You see? So things we don't know about, we consider, can't be. It's crazy. But it's not true. And when you think about it logically, you see that there is nothing illogical about it at all. Because it's not illogical to say that a thing can go from life to death, but not death to life. That would be illogical. You see? So, but that's the idea of a nace. When the thing follows, when nature dictates a certain course of things, doesn't mean the other course is impossible, but nature, the natural way things work is a certain way. But now you see all of a sudden it's diverts. Oh, so that's an ace. But is the diversion impossible? No. And if a person had enough knowledge, could he produce the diversion? Maybe. You see? Let's say you see a person 300 years ago, a person would start flying. You'd go, that's an ace. That's an ace, right? But now we could produce it by utilizing those laws. But if you didn't have that knowledge, then if you saw a guy flying, you'd go, well, this is crazy. It's impossible. And how did he do it? You'd say there's an indication that some kind of nace happened, because we don't have that knowledge. There's no way he artificially produced it. You see, so you say, okay, that must be a nace. You see, but nowadays you wouldn't say it's a nace, because you say, 1 second, we have the knowledge, so somebody artificially produced it. Yeah, it's not a normal occurrence, but if you have a thing with a certain wing, with a certain shape, yes, you could artificially produce such a thing. You see, so now what becomes normal is no more normal than something that's abnormal. It's just we could artificially produce it. But if nobody could artificially produce it, then you'd say, hey, that's a nace. And you'd be right, because how did it happen? It must have been the hashgacha. But that doesn't mean it's not in nature. It's something outside of nature. It's in nature, but how did it, who produced it? You see, like nowadays, if you had a harsina, you might say, well, it's a speaker system, an advanced speaker system. We have speaker systems. Oh, you could artificially produce it. Yes, absolutely. But nobody back then could artificially produce it, so you say, whoa, 1 second. This is a different thing. This is a different phenomena. This did not happen naturally. All right? Yeah. That's it. And you see, the Chazal agree with this, because Chazal say it's all in program into Maisa Bereishis. Program into Maisa Bereishis, it means it's there. Okay, very good. Shkach. Interesting, right?
Yeah.
See, like, because they say, they ask a question, they always ask this question, oh, no, we could explain nowadays how the makos happen, you know, with the wind speed, and you could duplicate the water coming up. So people think, oh, it's a kasha, so it's not an ace, it could have all been, it's explainable. Yeah, it doesn't mean it's not an ace. Explainable doesn't mean it's not an ace. But you go try to do it. Try to do that. Try to arrange that with the when people are escaping and all of a sudden, hey, the wind came and did this. Yeah, you could explain how it happened, but who's producing that? Where'd that come from? So that's not akasha. On the contrary, that's a proof. That's a proof. You see, such a thing is possible. So when the Torah tells you it happened, that should be a proof in your mind. Oh, such a thing is possible. That means that this occurrence is not an impossibility. So now I could accept that such a thing happened. I mean, if a person wouldn't have the Torah, wouldn't have the knowledge we have. On the contrary, that should be a proof, a confirmation that what the Torah is telling you is something realistic. It's not telling you a crazy thing. It's not telling you hocus pocus. It's real. You see? But they use it to the opposite. Oh, it could happen. It shows you they're not operating.
Yeah.
Right? It's an amazing thing. Yep. Okay.